Hey everybody, this is Wade with WadeForWireless.com, and today I want to go over what I had a rude awakening. I guess I had it a while ago, but I haven't really been talking about it, so I thought I'd talk about it. I don't talk about climbers as much, I'm getting more into the engineering side now, but thought I would talk about what I perceive to be the tower climber's number one problem. I always thought it was safety. I thought that safety was what climbers cared about. Thought it was at top of the list. After the OSHA RFI, it became very apparent to me that tower climbers don't really think that safety's their number one issue. In fact, a lot of them just don't seem to really care as much about it. They think they know more than most of the people out there, and they certainly think they know more than OSHA. I get it. They're on the tower. They're the ones doing the work every day. But I got to tell you a little story. So first off, want to thank Tower Safety for being a sponsor. And I really appreciate it, Tower Safety, for all your tower training needs, OSHA training. They can be reached at 480-313-0678. Drone training, they're coming up with a drone program. And pretty soon they'll have all the outlines for the NWSA training, because you're going to have to probably be NWSA certified. And the reason I say that, AT&T is taking a lead role in safety. Since we're talking safety here, I think it's impressive what AT&T is doing. They took Art Pregler, who's a great guy. I met the guy. He's a really nice guy. The hardworking guy towards safety is on the board for TIRAP. So AT&T has a representative there. And he's also the director for the board for NWSA. I think he's director. But he's on the board for NWSA as well. So AT&T is stepping up to take a lead role to do everything they can to help the safety of the tower climber. I think this is important because AT&T wants a presence with the tower climbing community. You know, they're really trying to improve things. Although they'll probably still keep the turf program and try to stay hands off at least three levels. Whereas Verizon hires a lot of climbers directly. I'm sure AT&T does too for maintenance and repair. I really don't know. We could ask Art about that. Art may be able to explain that to us. But anyways, I think they got a good guy with Art, and congratulations to him for stepping up to take that role. It's really impressive. I just wanted to really thank him and, you know, give him some recognition here for what he's doing. He's really doing a lot. The carriers are getting more involved in NATE. TNT's involved in TIRAP and NWSA. They seem to really want to make a difference, which is great. That's what we need. One more thing. We got my products out there. Got my logbook, you know, wadesarver.com. Just get on there. You'll see it. Or get on wadeforwireless.com. You'll see the links for it. Got the logbook. I got the scope of work tutorial. I have the Tower Climbing Introduction book, and I have the Site Aid, Tower Worker Site Aid book for support. What am I talking about here? Let's get into the actual program. The tower climber's number one problem, I always thought it was safety. It's not. They care about safety. It's up there. Nobody wants to die, but I think I figured it out, and boy, do I feel stupid. And now I'll tell you the story. So I was back at TIRAP, and I got to speak to Liz Day, which was an honor for me because she did the reports and the special and the research for the ProPublica specials, where they actually research the problems that tower climbers have had. PBS ran a video special, and it's also out there. I believe I have the links in there. So go ahead and take a look if you want to see what's going on out there. I will dig up the links once again to put them in there so you guys have them. But I know I'm dragging this out. Number one problem's money. Like, we didn't know that. You guys probably all knew that, and let me explain. Tower safety's up there, but really, when I say money, revolves around three things that I know of, and here are the three things. One, are they going to get paid by the people they're working for? If you're an employee or a contractor, are you going to get paid? A lot of people don't get paid. They get screwed out of money, they get screwed out of time, travel, per diem, everything. But let's talk about the paycheck. If you do work for somebody and you don't get paid, it's a problem in the industry. This happens a lot. And I'm sure there's a lot of reasons. They say, well, you didn't do the closeout package properly. You didn't do this. You didn't do that. But the idea of the closeout package is you're supposed to be able to walk through the site and tell them what they need to do. And if you schedule it right, if you hire somebody and you have a project manager, schedule appropriately. Because a lot of these guys have guys come out and do the work, and then, you know, they might not have the closeout for 3 months, which we're getting a little savvy to that. Now, in the scope of work, talking about the scope of work, you need to make sure that you have a deadline. If they don't do the walk test or the walkthrough, not walk test, but the walkthrough in a reasonable amount of time, you have to get paid. You have to put in there that they have to pay you no matter what. If you're a contractor of course, you're going to do everything to delay payment. And chances are, I don't know what you have, net 30, net 60, net 90. I know some contractors were trying to get net 120. I heard of one company getting net 270 asking for it. I'm not saying they got it. Net 270 is insane. I mean, I can't, you know, how can you just work for no money? And then are you going to pay at the end of that time? Are you going to pay? I hope so. I think net 30 is more than reasonable. 30 days, especially if you have to wait for the closeout package or the walkthrough, all that to get paid, because it should be net 30 from the time you complete the work. And then it should be on the contractor to have maybe a week to actually walk through the site and make everything's right. Now, in the carrier deployments, it's a problem because you don't always have the groundwork done the same time as the tower work for the macro sites. But you should schedule better. They might do that for safety reasons, because a lot of ground guys don't like thousands of pounds hoisted over them, or even, you know, hundreds of pounds being hoisted up over them while they're working on putting a shelter or site in. So you might have a problem there. But come to terms ahead of time. You know, don't screw around and then push it off as far as you can. And that used to be a game everyone used to play. They would push off the walkthroughs as long as they could until they're ready to bring the site live, so they didn't have to pay any sooner than they had. I think companies are a little more savvy now. One problem, getting paid. Number two, getting paid for your expenses. This is more of an employee problem, but when you submit expenses, if you do it properly, you should get paid for those expenses within a reasonable amount of time. And if you don't get paid for your expenses, you can go to the Department of Labor. Just like if you don't get paid for your paycheck, if you're an employee, you can go to the Department of Labor and get paid. If you're a contractor and you don't get paid, then you have to take it either to small claims court or get a lawyer and then file to get paid. I don't know the entire process, but I do know that if you talk to a lawyer, they can talk you through it. You know, just find somebody that can do it. If you're an employee that hasn't got paid for your work or your expenses, you can go to the Department of Labor, but you can't just make flying accusations. You can call them up and say, I didn't get paid. It's not fair. They screwed me. But chances are the employer is going to have your hours, have everything you worked on and where you were supposed to be. So it is up to you, the employee, to know when you worked, what your hours are, what the work contract is, what your agreement is with that employer. You need to keep your paperwork. I know I'm getting off on a tangent here, but we have a number one problem in the industry, and yet nobody wants to do anything about it. You know, nobody wants to protect themselves. Now, if you don't know any better, that's fine. I've been through that. I didn't get paid for my expenses. I had to go to the Department of Labor in New Jersey, and I got paid. I got paid for everything. You know why? Luckily, I had everything on a credit card. I was able to track everything on a credit card, and I kept a log of everywhere I was supposed to be. And when I went in front of the judge, he was impressed that I had everything. I was lucky. I was able to log all that, put everything together. And if your records don't agree with your former employers, you know, you're going to bicker. But if you have the expenses to prove you were there and you're saying you were there for work, the law really is on the employee's side. So I see those as the top two, like the three top three problems I see is money. One is getting paid either by your employer or by your customer. Two is getting your expense money. And then three is just wondering where your next job's coming from. When I say that, I talk to a lot of climbers. For one, the reason I do so many job postings for people, I do a lot of job postings on my website. You know, I have tower climbers. There's 12 to 15 in Minnesota that I put recently put. I put a lot up on LinkedIn. There's a DAS engineer needed in Pittsburgh. A Wi-Fi security engineer needed in Philadelphia. Do you know why I post all those? I'll tell you why. Because everyone, especially in the tower industry, comes to me looking for work. It just seems like I have a lot of people looking for work. So the reason I post those are because I have so many people looking for work. Then I have other guys saying, you know, are you getting into job placement business? I would, but a lot of you guys, let me tell you something. If you see a job you want to get, you got to read the post and see where to send the email, right? You can't just say, oh, hire me. You can't just say, look at my profile on LinkedIn. You know what? I'm lazy. If I say in the post, I want your resume, email it to this email address, I would expect you to read the post and email it to that email address if you're a fit. So another point, if you're a tower climber and you don't know anything about Wi-Fi security, you shouldn't apply for a Wi-Fi security job. I'm just saying. So common sense here is a two-way street. A lot of these, I know I'm off point. I'm just giving you my frustration, okay? That's all I'm really doing here. But the reality is, number three is people don't know where they're going to work like the next month or the next 6 months. That's another issue. It's well known that in this business and deployment, and I'm not just saying tower climbers, ERF engineers, drive test teams, all those guys, you never know what city you're going to be working at, or where you, or how far you're going to have to commute, or if you're going to be out of town for a week or 2 weeks. Optimization's a big deal. All this installation, commissioning. Now the integration teams are usually in a central location, so for them it isn't so bad. But my point here is, most people don't know where they're going to work in over 6 months. A lot of these jobs are 6 month jobs. Some of them you can, you know, work it out for 2-3 years. Like Network Vision went on for what, 3 years. Now, with that said, it was 3 years nationwide. Like if you were in a region, you probably had so much work for that region for maybe a year or two, and then maybe some straggling work. But you're always looking for work, even in site design, even in site engineering. You're always looking for work. In installation, you're always looking for work. That's why, you know, I'm in business development. My job is to find work or try to create work for our company, or try to find a need that the company has. When you're working out there as a climber or a contractor and you have a 6 month job, you don't have time to do a need. You have a time to finish a job, then look for your next job. And when you have about a month left on your contract, I would say you're going to probably spend that month looking for your next job, unless you get paid incredibly well and can take a month off, which kudos. Then money's not your number one issue, is it? So with all that said, let's go on. Let's go on here. I told you about three problems. They're all money related. Liz Day, thank you, because you really helped me with this. I just didn't have anything to get out, but now I didn't have anything to post until I got a lot of feedback from all you people out there. And all you listening that give me feedback, thank you. I really appreciate it. I try to give you what I can. I've written posts about not getting paid, or how to get paid, or what to do, going to the Department of Labor. You got to do some of the work yourself. You can sit at home and complain. You can get bitter, or you can just look for another job, or you can actually do something about it by contacting the Department of Labor in whatever state. Chances are you have to go in the state where the company is. So if you're on the East Coast and you worked in California and they didn't pay you, you probably got to file with California. But California, the laws really are on the side of the employee. So you might not have any issues getting paid out there if you just file and complain. And I talk to business owners. If they do have a complaint against a business, they come in, they being the Department of Labor, they will come in and they will actually review the records and make sure that everything is truthful on the employer's side as well as the employee's side. I just never realized that money is such a big problem out there. I've been very fortunate. Now, I had one company that screwed me over, but for the most part, a lot of the companies I worked for were pretty good guys, pretty good people, really good people, well-structured companies. Plus, I worked my ass off for those companies, so they seemed to really appreciate that. When I worked for these companies, I did all that I could. Did I always get paid fairly? Well, you know, when you have a rough job or you're up on a tower for 12 hours in bitter cold wind and in the middle of winter, you don't always feel like it's fair. But, you know, it balances out. A lot of us enjoy different things. So, but it's really money that's up there. I think I realize that, you know, when I talked to Dr. Hester at the Hubble Foundation, I realize how important money is, because she gets calls from people every day. With that said, you also have to go through the bullshit detector, because some guys just cry and whine and they don't always tell you the whole truth. That's another issue in the industry. We want to hear the whole truth and nothing but the truth, but everyone has their version of the truth. No matter who you talk to, you have their version of the truth. And unless it goes to court, you're going to hear everybody's version of the truth. But when it goes to court, then everyone shuts up, they clam up because it's a lawsuit. Look at any accident with OSHA. Now blaming OSHA. OSHA does the research. But when it goes to court, nobody says nothing. That's one of my major problems here when I try to research accidents and stuff. And you know what? I just get tired of it. Everyone hush hush because the accident happened. Nobody wants to tell you what really happened, because there's usually some hush hush money, which is never fair money. People just take what they can get. That's another subject. So let me get back here. So the number one problem really is the money. People really have a lot of fear. And I think one of the reasons with the OSHA responses didn't do better, the people that did respond to the OSHA RFI that did so anonymously were in fear of getting fired. You know why? Because they don't want to expose their company for being the unsafe companies that they are, because they'll get fired. People really need these jobs. People really need to feed their families. I know that's hard for a lot of managers to understand, or hard for a lot, especially carriers, to understand. These guys are working out there so they can feed their families. They're doing the best that they can so they can continue to work to feed their families. And trust me, I've been laid off. It really sucks. Might be laid off again. You know, my company's being taken over. I just don't know what's going to happen. It's an unknown. I'm going to do the best I can to feed my family, to pay my bills. If you're good with money, great. If you have a lot of money in the bank, great. But the reality is, people are scared of getting fired. So I would say that's number four. One, getting paid. Two, getting paid for your expenses. They're two different things. Getting a paycheck or getting paid by your customer is number one. Two, getting your expense money paid is a problem. Three, where your next job is if you're on contract work. And four, fear of getting fired. Fear of getting fired is probably number four, for whatever reason. Now, if you're a good worker, you can mouth off a little bit, but if you make things public that your company's doing bad things, that's why I get a lot of calls all the time that I want to write posts on. Everyone says, well, don't mention my name, and if you mention my company, they might do this, do that. That's why I'm going to write another book on all the problems in the industry. That's next. I got to finish this wireless deployment handbook first. But I just want everyone to realize out there, all four top problems are money. Five is probably right around where safety ranks. And even that, for most climbers, I would say five is a generous ranking for safety. I think climbers think they're safe. I think no matter what they do at the tower, they just think they're safe. That's why I like the idea of safety audits. If you do a safety audit, then you know you're safe. And maybe they do random ones, and maybe that's already in the works. I don't know. No one gives me any feedback on safety audits. And I got to tell you, when I write about safety audits, lowest numbers ever. Nobody gives a crap. I put safety audit in the title. It goes right down to the bottom. Nobody gives a crap. So obviously, safety audits are not high on anyone's priority list. Okay. But here's the thing. One thing that does get people fired up is when I talk about pot. Everyone gets fired up about pot. And you know what? I don't want to argue whether it should be legal or not. It's legal in some states. What I do want to argue with, if your company says it's illegal to smoke pot and they find you have pot in your blood on a drug test, which I've taken a lot of drug tests, someone's going to complain. You know what I'm trying to say? In other words, if you have pot in your blood and something bad happens, there's an accident, who are they going to blame? They're going to blame the pothead. I know what you're saying. Well, pot's not a drug. It's legal. It's blah, 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 blah. Doesn't matter. It's probably why these guys smoke so many cigarettes. If you're found with a substance that is against company rules, they're probably going to, one, fire you. Two, blame you for an accident because you had marijuana in your blood, let's say. And three, your reputation is going to spread across the industry as tainted. Now, will a company do that? Maybe, maybe not. But if you have an accident, I'm going to give you an example. Recently, a few years ago, a kid died, right? Tower, fell off a tower, had a strong case. It looked like it was a fault of a hardware failure, and had a wife and two kids. What happened? Tested positive for marijuana in the blood. Now, his wife still got the insurance payout, and she still got some money from the company, but did she get what she deserved, or did she get what she thought she was going to get? No. All because the whole focus of the court case came down to marijuana. That's what the whole focus came for. All you guys, you can argue legality, not legal, whatever, whatever. Let me tell you something. If you're at a job and you're up in a tower and you have booze in your blood, you know what? They're going to look at that booze and say, that's a problem. Now everyone's going to say, well, booze and pot are a lot different. Listen, I don't care if they're different. I don't care. The point is, if the company sets a policy that you're not supposed to have pot in your blood while you're at work, or you're not supposed to have booze in your blood while you're at work, it's going to be a problem. Anyway, just saying, those are the top problems in the industry. I'm just pointing it out. And for all of you that responded, all you tower climbers that responded to the OSHA RFI, I really want to thank you. I really do. If you're still listening, if you didn't get pissed off when I was talking about all the drug stuff. But I really do want to thank you guys, because a lot of you guys were smart. You just answered anonymous. You gave your name as anonymous, which is fine, which is good, because anonymous is what you had to do so you didn't get fired, but you still did your part. Some of you guys just didn't respond because it was OSHA, and I don't get that. OSHA's coming to you for help. Ah, it's too late. So I was really glad that I got to run into Liz Day and I got to really talk to her about this, even though it was for only for a few minutes. She really opened my eyes to that. And the money issue is the number one issue. I'm just trying to get it through the head of all you guys out there that you can make a difference by just stating what's right and what's wrong with safety. And maybe if we can control the safety part, it's a step towards controlling getting paid. A lot of guys will cut safety, you know, gear or safety practices or safety training because they want to save money. I get it. And I don't just blame the tower crews for not paying their people. I don't think it's that black and white. If they don't get paid by their customers, they're not going to be able to pay their people. That's the reality of it. Whether, don't get me wrong, there's scum buckets in every business, okay? You always have that scum bucket out there that says, this is how you do business. You don't pay anybody. You keep all the money for yourself. I don't see it that way. I don't. I never have, and I never will. And to be honest with you, a good many people that I worked for, they didn't see it that way. They saw that the success of any business was having good employees and keeping good employees happy. That's how I see it. The way companies are doing business now, like Verizon Wireless, They hire tower climbers direct. I know that for a fact. They keep them happy and they're happy with their work. And if the guys screw up, they may be out. Verizon Wireless, I think, would be more than willing to hire new climbers as long as they were vetted, tried, and true to their work. And I think they're going to pay. However, when I think you're a contractor for a carrier direct, you have to agree to the carrier's terms, whether it's net 30, net 60, or whatever it is. But I think that's what builds a relationship. Relationships matter in this business. I'm just trying to point out all the different options here. I just want you guys to realize that we have to work together as a team. We have to communicate out there. And I'm not talking just tower climbers. I'm talking the deployment industry in general. You have the RF engineers. You have the optimization teams, the drive test teams. You're going to have all the other engineers that work together, commissioning, site engineering, the drafting engineers, the mechanical engineers, the guys that build the towers, the guys that hang on the towers, the guys that commission the equipment, because the commissioning guys are out there with you. Those guys work hard. They travel all the time, and they're out there with the installers. So if we can just communicate to each other, and maybe just let each other know where we can help each other and what companies are good and what companies are bad, I think that's really going to help. That's going to make a difference. So I look at all the carriers as, you know, looking to this NWSA as improving safety for the tower climbers. NWSA is going to set a standard out there, and all you guys that want to do carrier work anyway are going to have to probably get that NWSA certification. Now, in broadcast, I don't know. It's up to you. You guys are members of Nate, right? So I would imagine Nate's going to require it for all their members somehow. I don't know if they can require, they can recommend. As long as you're paying your dues, I don't know. I know, I'm getting off point again. Top problems there, let's just look at it. Money, 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 being away from home, travel, safety. That's what I see. All right, everyone. Be smart, be safe, pay attention. And let's communicate out there. All right. See ya.